in which we can be gathered together to worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and our Savior. What a joy it is, Lord, to be gathered today with your people. And I pray, Father, your blessing be upon us. I pray that your Spirit would be poured out upon us. And I pray that we would be revived, we would be changed, and we would leave here differently than when we came. Lord, we need you. And we can't live in this world without you. And this world is no friend to grace. And this world is turning farther and farther from you. So, Lord, draw us nearer and nearer to thee. Father, we are a needy church, needing a touch from you physically. Please be with Linda. Please be with Chuck. Lord, please be with Deb's mom and others that we may know that are not doing well. And Lord, we also pray for the comfort and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, be upon Anna Mae. So Lord, we just thank you for all you do for us. But Lord, our country is in great need of you. Long ago, Lord, we have turned our back on you and we have taken you out of schools and courts and taken you out of everything. And the Bible says, be not deceived, God will not be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we are reaping what we have sown. And Father, forgive us. Turn us, Lord. Turn us back to you. Help us, Lord, to repent and to call on your name and to seek your face. And Father, please help us as your people to do what we know we need to do for the good of our homes, for the good of our church, for the good of our communities, and for the good of our country. So, Lord, we ask your blessing upon this service as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Junior Church can be dismissed at this time. Go with the Hemingways. I know our singing was bad. So we have that effect on children. You know, friends, if we could only just begin to scratch the surface of how deep the Father's love is for us, it's amazing. And it's a good thing once in a while to contemplate on that and to think about that. And we'll be able to do that here in a little while. But today is Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there and grandfathers who are blessed twice. Maybe you're a great-grandfather and you're blessed triply. Happy Father's Day to you. And I hope you have a wonderful and blessed day. And if your dad is still alive, visit him, call him. And if he's not here, cherish all the great memories that you have of him. But the title of the message today is called Quit You Like Men. And that's verbiage we don't necessarily use today, but in 1 Corinthians 16:13, there is the phrase, quit you like men. It says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. And we'll talk about what that means in a moment. But I have a question to start my message today. Where are the men? Where are the men? Where are the fathers? What happened to masculinity? You know, men, I see men living in fear of a virus which 99% of people recover from. 76 years ago, young men, some Josh's age, were in landing crafts, and the doors opened on the beaches of Normandy, and they went to certain death, many of them. We fear the virus because we've been taught to fear. We're living in a day when we are witnessing the feminization of boys and men. Masculinity is under siege. Men are no longer acting like men. Remember John Wayne? Clint Eastwood? Chuck Norris? Rambo? My dad? I would fall down and cry, and these were the words of my father. Get up, boy. And I thank the Lord for that. Men and boys today are competing in women and girls' sports. Woo! Gender fluidity, or men wanting to be women because they are confused about what gender they are in spite of the biological evidence that is clearly seen. Homosexuality, transgenderism, and friends, just this past week, a recent Supreme Court decision which will, in the days ahead, be destructive to the true church in America. These are not days to be questioning your manhood. These are days that require men to act like men. These are days to train our sons to be men. The concept of toxic masculinity is used in psychology and gender studies, and this is their definition. certain norms of masculinity that are associated with harm to society and to men themselves. John Wayne today would be considered toxic. This has led to a word we often hear today, misogyny, or the hatred of, contempt for, or prejudice against women and girls. In some circles, being a man is a disease. Masculinity is not toxic. It is true, there are some men who are toxic. But so are some women. But masculinity is not toxic. Remember the word chivalry? It's a medieval word that spoke of knighthood. It spoke of knights and damsels. And our word, cavalry, comes from the same root. Knights were expected to be brave, loyal, kind, courteous to women. But today the word chivalry simply means men behaving courteously toward women. Today some women appreciate this, others do not. Whenever I can, I try to open a door for a woman, even if it's not my wife. And sometimes women say thank you, and sometimes dagger looks come back. You know, that's the world we live in today, friends. But let me hit closer to home. That's the world out there, and it's obvious. But let me hit closer to home. Dad, are you the man of the house? Or does mom rule the roost? Maybe the kids run the asylum. Dad, are you acting like a man? The man God intended you to be. Today, our homes need men to act like men. Our church needs men to act like men. Our communities need men to act like men. And our country needs men to act like men. And again, a phrase from our introduction text, quit you like men. This phrase literally means to act manly. To act like a man. To show yourselves men. And Paul is telling us, act like a man. And that's what we need today. Men. Remember, and some of you are here today, the greatest generation. Whew, what would happen if something like that happened today? I fear for America. But friends, if this ministry, the ministry of Hill Village Bible Church, if this ministry is to move forward for the glory of God and our obedience to the Great Commission, there are men in this church who need to step up to the plate and be the man of God, the husband, the father, and the church member God intended you to be. Our text today comes from 1 Chronicles 12. So turn back. 1 Chronicles 12, please. In 1 Chronicles 12, we have the account of David at Ziklag and Hebron, where he reigned as king for 7 years. It was during this time that King Saul had hunted him and had sought to kill him multiple times. It was also during this time that Saul was delivered into the hand of David, but David chose not to kill him. These were dangerous days. Days where so many were disenfranchised with the government. Doesn't that sound familiar? What does it mean to be disenfranchised? It means they were deprived of their rights and privileges as citizens. Doesn't that sound familiar? I do not want to downplay the coronavirus. I do not want to downplay the coronavirus. It is a serious virus. And people we know, people we've ministered to, have died from it. And we need to be careful. But I also believe, friends, that we were part of a great social experiment. People becoming disenfranchised. These people sought to follow David and make him king over all Israel. These were days filled with mighty men of valor. We will see that phrase over and over again in 1 Chronicles 12. And we are living in days where we need to be mighty men of valor. Quit you like men. Act like a man. And these little boys that are here today, grow up to be men. Men. Men of God. Don't be afraid to be a man. Being a man doesn't mean you're mean and nasty. Being a man means you're brave and you're kind. And you can be loving. And you can shed a tear. It's all right. But when you fall off the horse, get back up on it. Or when you fall off the four-wheeler. The dirt bike, whatever it is. Get back on it. From our text, our first point, real men are helpers in the war. Look at verses 1 and 2. Now, these are they that came to David to Ziklag while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left hand in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. Skip down, please, to verse 8. And of the Gadites, they separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as a rose upon the mountains. David had been anointed king by Samuel, but Saul, the rejected king, was still on the throne. And he was trying to kill David. And Ziklag was a stronghold of David's, which was just southwest of Jerusalem. And these were mighty men who came to help him. They were ready for war. Today, friends, today, men, we are engaged in a war. A war for the soul of our families and our friends. Men, are you helping or hindering in this warfare? Are you an expert with the armor and the weapons that God has given us to use? Because there is a great spiritual warfare raging today. Let alone what we see in our country. There's a great spiritual warfare raging. And it's raging in our homes. It's raging in our churches, in our communities. And are you a helper? Real men are helpers in the war. Number two, real men are friends in adversity. Adversity brings us together. and makes us comrade in arms. Verses 16 and 17. And there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, If ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye be come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. Benjamin, they were Saul's family, but many of them came to help David. Are you here to help or betray the work? If you're here to help, our hearts will be knit together. Friends in adversity are close friends. If you're here to hinder, God will rebuke you. We are brothers, and we should not be fighting amongst ourselves. But so many churches do. There's so much friendly fire. And I can understand going out there, and I can understand getting shot and beat up by the enemy. But I can't understand it inside here. The church body. Wounds coming from brothers. Real men are friends in adversity. Number three, real men are loyal. Verse 18. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received him and made them captains of the band. Real men are loyal. Loyal. That's something we don't hear a lot about today. And because of this social media society, somebody says something or I say something that somebody doesn't like and they unfriend me. Ooh. Loyalty. Of course, we're first and foremost to be loyal to Christ. Loyal to our church family. Loyal to one another. Loyalty, friends, is of the Spirit. Loyalty brings unity. Loyalty seeks peace. Loyalty seeks God's help. Loyalty is rewarded. David made them captain. Isn't that amazing? Loyalty. And we need loyalty. We're all in this together. We're fighting, we should be fighting the same enemy. And we should be taking the same ground. And we're here to help each other. Number four, real men help with a great work. This is a great work. Verse 21. And they helped David against the band of rovers. For they were all mighty men of valor and were captains in the host. And again, I've mentioned this before, but friends, we need mighty men of valor. And last Father's Day, I preached on that phrase, mighty men of valor. And mighty men of valor literally means a force. Mighty men of valor are a force to be reckoned with. They're brave, they're strong. And you'll remember the mighty men of valor. We looked at David's mighty men and the deeds that they did. It just seems unbelievable. But this is what we need today. And because of this, because of real men are help with the great work, Every day the host grew. Look at verse 22. For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host, like the host of God. And this is a great work we are involved in. And that great work is for the souls of men. And friends, if we are unified, the host will grow. If we are unified in our doing all to the glory of God and being obedient to the Great Commission, the host will grow. And more will come. Our ministry can grow if we seek unity. And then notice in verse 23, third point under this point, to turn the kingdom of Saul to him. Verse 23. And these are the numbers of the band that were ready, armed for war, and came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. Now, sadly, at this time, there was civil war going on in Israel because the rejected king was still on the throne and God's anointed king was only ruling partially for 7 years. And God, of course, would do the work to unite. But friends, the David was the anointed king, Saul was the rejected king, and are we ready to help bring people into the kingdom of Jesus? I am not concerned about making people American. I love to be an American. I'm thankful for the freedoms that we still have. And I'm thankful that our corner of our country is not touched by much of what we see. But I'm not interested in our missionaries making people American or Westerners. I'm interested in making people part of the kingdom. And these folks were unified in turning the kingdom to David. And no, the church cannot bring in the kingdom. Only Christ can do that. But we can bring people into the kingdom. And that's what we need to be doing. This is the greatest work. Period. Number five. Real men are engaged in the conflict. They are engaged. They are not spectators. It's interesting now that we are watching some sports. It's no secret. You know that I'm a NASCAR fan. And NASCAR was one of the first sports to go back to competing. But there's nobody in the stands. Yesterday, I think the Belmont was run. And there was nobody in the stands. Usually the stands are filled with spectators. Now we're all spectating from the safety of our living room with our mask on. It amazes me when people drive down the road in the car by themselves with their mask on. I digress. Real men are engaged in the conflict. 32 and 33. Of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank, they were not of a double heart. Real men are engaged in the conflict. They were educated. They were educated men. They understood the times. Friends, we need to be educated on the times in which we live. Our kids are going to ask us questions. Your kids are going to ask you questions that my kids never asked me. Because of what they hear, because of what they see. And when your kids come to you questioning their gender, you better know what to say. And yes, the answer is because that's how God made you. That's you. That's what you are. But, and I don't like to put a but on that, but they've been fed a doctrine of humanism. And you have to know what's going on out there. Educated. They were understanding the times. These are troubling times. We have to understand about how to give an answer for racial tension. We have to know how to do that. And the answer is not all lives matter. The answer is all men need to be saved. Black man, white man, and blue man. They all need to be saved. And Christ will unify. Educated men. They were effective men. They know what Israel ought to do. They knew what Israel ought to do. Do you know what you ought to do as the father of your house, as the husband of your house, as the man of this church? They were eager men. They were at the command. They were eager. These were men who wanted the fight. I don't go out looking for a fight, but don't run from it. I was raised by a Marine. And my father is still a Marine. That's why he said when I fell down, he'd say, "Get up, boy." And when I cried, he said, "Don't cry." Now you may think that's harsh. Don't cry. Men don't cry. He told me, if you don't start a fight, but you be sure you finish a fight. Now, I might be going against what you're teaching some of your kids. I was told to defend the honor of my sister. And she was a couple grades behind me. If anybody picked on my sister and I did nothing about it, I answered for that. My father said, if anybody says anything bad about your mother, you take care of it. See, these eager. They were eager. They were at the command. They were experienced men. They were expert in war. They were enlisted men. It said they could keep rank. Some of you in the military, there's officers and then there's enlisted. And 99.999% of everything is done by the enlisted men. They knew what they had to do. They were enlisted. And they were earnest men. They were not of a double heart. They didn't have split loyalties. Sincere and intense conviction. Men, do you have a single-hearted devotion to the cause of Christ and His church? And that cause of Christ in your home, in your church, in your community, and in your country. The cause of Christ. I think it's terrible that we are no longer a Christian nation. And that's our fault. Real men are unified, verse 38. We looked at this a little bit before, but verse 38, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron, to make David king over all Israel, and all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Unified. They could keep rank. There it is again. They knew their place. They knew their ministry. They came with a perfect heart. And friends, can I say something? Unity will catch on. Unity will catch on. So does disunity. But unity will catch on. All it says there, all the rest of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Because his mighty men were unified, that unity caught on. Remember the tragic day of September 11th, 2001? Tragic day. And remember in that tragedy, the unity we saw in the days following? Where's that unity? What happened? We see tragedies all the time on the news. Tragedies. Tragic things. No unity. And in fact, people are purposely causing disunity and confusion. That should never be here. Well, the church wants to do this over my dead body. Last point, number 7. Completed message. 7 points. Completed message. Real men bring joy to the camp. Verse 39 and 40. And there they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on donkeys and on camels and on mules and on oxen and meat, meal, cakes of figs and bunches of raisins and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly, for there was joy in Israel. When people are unified around the Lord's work, when men are unified, there's joy in the camp. Dad, when you are the dad God wants you to be, there's joy in your home. And if there's no joy in your home, look in the mirror, because it's your responsibility to bring that joy. Of course, mothers bring joy also. But you set the mood and the tone. You are the leader. God intended it that way. Don't listen to what we're being told. You are the leader. And when this happens, everybody shares in the spoils. The kids, the wife, the dog. Cats are never happy. Sorry, cat lovers. Cats don't care. But are you acting like a man? Or are you absent? Maybe you're there, but you're absent. You're just a tenant. You just live there. You pay the bills. Maybe you're a tyrant. You need to be a teacher. You need to set the pace. You don't have to turn there, but Jeremiah, in application, Jeremiah in chapter 46, the first part of 15, Jeremiah asked the question. Now remember, Jeremiah is living in the time when Israel is being led away captive. The enemy is no longer at the door. The enemy is in the city. And Jeremiah says, why are the valiant men swept away? Is it Seattle or Portland where they took over? Seattle? They took over the police station. They have a little utopia city they're building. Where are the valiant men? I know, friends, there's all kinds of political things involved there. But where would I be if I lived there? What would I be doing? Where are the men? Where are the mighty men of valor? Where are the brave men? In Hebrews 11:34, in that great chapter, Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith chapter, one of the phrases toward the end in verse 34 says, they waxed valiant in fight. Waxed valiant in fight. Men, are you involved in this great warfare? Are you fighting for your family and for your homes? Because the enemy is at the door, and in some cases, the enemy is already inside the door. And some of us don't care. Can't be bothered. Are you fighting for your church and its ministries? Are you fighting for your community and your friends? Are you fighting for your country and culture or our way of life? And friends, what I'm speaking of here is the freedom that we enjoy. We need real men. We need valiant men. We need mighty men of valor. And as I started with Paul's admonition, quit you like men. Act like men. Act like a man. How about you? Have you been acting like a man? If so, praise God. Keep on doing. Are you raising your boys to be men? Moms, I love you. But when Junior falls and skins his knee, don't go running up to him. Let me kiss your boo-boo. Okay? Yes, be concerned about infection. But don't baby him. Boys fall. Boys skin things. Boys get stitches. Boys break bones. Boys lose teeth. They're supposed to be adventurous. They're supposed to be learning, you know, to what works and what doesn't work, and how to be brave. Let's not be responsible for making them sissies. I know I'm using old-fashioned words, but I'm an old-fashioned guy. Men. We need men. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. You're here today. And you're a man. I'm speaking to you. You're here today and you're a woman. Don't sit this one out. But pray for the men that are here. Men, have you been acting like a man of God? A man who loves God with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind. And a man who loves his family so much so that he would die for his family. You are the first line of defense in your home. You are the one that the enemy needs to get through. Are you the man of God that he wants you to be? You need some help? Have some things happened in your home that the enemy has gotten in? And there's ground that needs to be taken back. Take it back. Fight. Fight for your family. They're worth it. They're soul. How about in the church? Have you been helping the work? Have you joined part of the work? Have you enlisted to be part of doing everything here to glorify God and obey the Great Commission? Say, I'm an old man. We need you. We need the fathers. We need the young men. We need the children. Read 1 John. We need them. We need your experience, your expertise. We need to hear about the war stories. We need to hear about the victories. Young men, we need you to fight those battles because the children are watching. And if the Lord tarries, they'll be taking up. Not a day to be questioning your manhood. Today to be fighting the good fight. So guys, if you would tell God you're serious about this. I want to be the man of God that He wants me to be. Just stand in your place and we'll pray. Say, I want to be that man. Just stand. Amen. 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 Ladies, stay down. Men, stand. Father, thank you for these men. Thank you for their desire to want to be the man of God that you want them to be. You know the situation in every home. And you know that there's victories that need to be won. There's ground that needs to be taken. Lord, help them to be the fathers, the husband, the men that you intend them to be. Lord, these are days that we need to be brave. Help us to be brave. Father, bless each one that's standing. And Father, anoint them with Thy Spirit. And send Thy Spirit upon them and give them great victories. Victories that we can testify about in the days ahead. And help all of us, men that are here, to act like men. And we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.